I love her. I love her very much. I've never had a feeling like
shut
this.
Up.
And speaking of love, weren't you and I going to talk about that today?
Yes, we were.
But, well, couldn't you manage to arrange your time so you could have a little fun, too?
I was like, yeah, we didn't even get to record. And he's like, you spoke for 4 hours and you didn't even record? I'm like, 4 hours is nothing.
That's child's play for us.
That's child's play for us. We've spoken for 6, almost 7 hours and still had more to say to each other, but had to stop talking because we had other commitments.
Yeah, like sleep and food and like drinking water.
Sleep and food or like literally... One time I was late to an online class because I was still talking to you.
I remember that one. I remember you texting your prof being like, oh no, I've got like internet connectivity issues. Sorry to snitch on you. Hopefully your prof doesn't listen to this podcast.
Hopefully my teacher doesn't listen
to this. Yeah, I mean, like, what's the likelihood of that, right?
I didn't send them a link to the episode. I don't know if that's strictly kosher.
What scenario would it be appropriate for you to send your prof a link to your podcast?
I think if the class had to do with podcast. What do I have to learn though, huh? No, I'm kidding. I have lots to learn.
No, you don't, bitch.
Exactly.
Should we do a land acknowledgement?
Yes. We'd like to acknowledge that the recording of this podcast takes place both in the region of Peel, which is part of the treaty lands and territory of the Mississaugas of the Credit,
and Ottawa, which was built on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin Nation territory. Bon.
Bon. C'est bon.
Kat, what movie are we doing? What movie are we doing this week?
We are doing Crazy Stupid Love.
Yes, because even though we put it in the poll that you guys all participated in, and then we ended up doing Crazy Rich Asians, we could not do Crazy Stupid Love, because like I don't know, it's got crazy in the title, it's got Ryan Gosling in it. How do you pronounce, okay, is it Steve Carell or Steve Carell?
How do you pronounce Steve Carell?
I knew that, I was testing it. So it's got those two people, plus it's also got Emma Stone. Yep. What did you think of this one overall?
I remember the first time I watched this movie, I love this movie. I was like, wow, so fresh.
Yeah.
What an interesting kind of rom-com. It's got everything you want. And then I thought rewatching it now.
Boring.
Boring? You said boring?
Yeah. No?
I mean, a little bit. I found the parts where Ryan Gosling was being like super... what's the word? What's that word for like guys who like... dating experts, like the mid-2000s dating experts.
Ooh,
yes,
pickup artists.
Yes. I found that when he was being that, I was like, I forgot how much negging was in this movie, or like the importance of negging.
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
Okay, so we had slightly different takes. I thought you were going to say that the first time you watched it, you were like, oh my god, so fun, so fresh. And then watching it most recently, you were like, oh, this was not as fun and fresh as I remembered. Which, to be fair, is what happens when a movie came out like...
10 years ago.
And you've seen it a few times. And I was like, I remember thinking like, yeah, it's a bit more of like run of the mill than I expected. But maybe that the reason that you just articulated is the reason why.
It at the time, it was like different from all the other rom-coms that I'd seen, I guess. I think. And now I think after seeing so many kinds of rom-coms and them being done so well since then, I think it's just, it's hard for us to still find it, like, the pinnacle of rom-coms. Not that I ever did it, but, like, you know what I mean?
Well, actually, you might be onto something there, because when it first came out, everyone did lose their mind. Everyone did lose their mind, because, I mean, this was, like, the height of Ryan Gosling era, and he was, like, kind of an anti-hero in this one. Maybe not that, I wouldn't say maybe that, go that far, but, like, as far as ensemble cast, like, he had a pretty big role, so... You know, we didn't know if we liked him at first, but he was part of Steve Carell's growth. And then, you know, he's a little bit, you know, we see his softer side and blah, blah, blah.
I think I was thinking about this, too, because of the way that so his character's name is Jacob. Basically, how do you explain the fucking premise of this movie?
Let me give you a hard and fast recount Do of it. The premise, everybody. Okay, so Steve Carell gets dumped by his wife of 25 years, played by Julianne Moore. She says she wants a divorce. He does not fight it. They start the divorce proceedings. He moves out, and he's very sad. She's moving on. They're both, everybody in the situation mm-hmm. is sad, but they're both trying to go about their lives. They have two kids, Julianne Moore and Steve Carell, okay? That's mostly aside from the point, because the main thrust of the film is the the evolution of Steve Carell's character. What's his name again in it?
Cal.
Cal's character growth. And is it growth or is it something else? And I think to a degree it is character growth, but we do see a huge transformation regardless, mm-hmm. right? So the transformation is Jacob comes into his life. He kind of takes him under his wing, decides to be his kind of like dating and life coach to, quote, help him get his manhood back or reclaim his manhood or something. And what that means to Jacob is make him look fun and fresh and mm-hmm. get ladies.
Exactly.
That is Jacob's definition of success. Why? Because that's what he does.
Yes.
So we see kind of the evolution of Cal going from this like frumpy dad wearing his New Balance, the 21s, mm-hmm. you know, with the Velcro wallet, to kind of hot dad.
There was one outfit that Steve Carell was in. When it was, like, a montage of him doing so well with the ladies after he had, like, gotten the hang of it.
Was it the last suit? No, the first suit. The first one. When he walks back in and it's, like, maybe a striped blue and white shirt with a gray suit.
I don't think it was that one. For me, he looked most striking when he was wearing, like, all black and it was, like, a black motor jacket, I think. Right off the bat, I will say, like, in general, I think Steve Carell, very attractive. Especially Silver Fox Carell.
See, that's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. He had, in real life, a calendar mm-hmm. when he went from... I guess at one point he stopped dyeing his hair mm-hmm. black or something and just, like, let the silver come through. And yeah. Wow. What a great move. He, like, started wearing slightly different glasses and, like, more suits. And I was like, yes,
literally, bitch.
The real life yeah. makeover.
And it's so true where he looks so different. Like, guys can wear clothes sizes, like, two sizes too big mm-hmm. and they look horrendous. If more guys just wore clothes that fit them properly,
oh
it would
God.
Be over for us bitches.
I have been literally it's this is the subject that I wait for people to bring up in conversation. it plagues me. It's not, I mean, it's a lot of maybe women have more resources
oh, 100%.
To know what are the right sizes. But I feel like no one's out here encouraging men to, like, hey, take some time to care yeah. for yourself. Like, care for your skin, care for your hair, find out what your right sizes are. It's like there's so much of that rhetoric directed at women mm-hmm. and magazines and entire industries dedicated to it for women. But there's no one saying, hey, guess what, guys? You can, like, take care of yourself and you're allowed to have
yeah.
nice things.
I've had to explain to multiple boys.
Every episode of
Yes, Theorize, exactly. That's
where, you know, where the guy's like, oh, I didn't have high self-confidence, so I didn't think, like, I mm-hmm. deserved to look good and have nice things. And I'm like, no!
They don't even think that they deserve
sweet
to,
child.
They deserve to know or that they're allowed to know any of this information.
I know. Why is it, like, arcane knowledge? It's
yeah.
not. This stuff is, and I mean, thank God for the mm-hmm. internet that it's, like, democratizing access to all this knowledge, because I'm like, this might be my new crusade in life to, like, make men realize that they're allowed to
oh,
have nice 100%.
Things to take care of themselves. I've lectured.
And I don't mean
no.
cars and
no,
leather
no, no.
jackets. I mean,
like, nice shirts, nice
day, you know?
Wallets, nice bags. Like, just mm-hmm. because you bought a JanSport backpack 10 years ago does not mean you have to still use the backpack. Technically, it still works. Get a nicer backpack, yeah. dude.
I'm like, hey, I'm all for ethical consumption, mm-hmm. and it's hard to be an ethical, you know, consumer.
Under
in,
capitalism.
Like, state
capitalism. Yep.
Ugh, get a load of the society, you know what I'm saying? But, like, hello, if, you know, give yourself a treat every once in a
yeah.
while. Update the JanSport.
Yeah.
You know?
I
You want to look like your age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have lectured multiple, like, boys at work, guys, mm-hmm. younger than me or my age, about mm-hmm. how they shouldn't be using, like, 5-in-1
no.
What's a male brand? Like Head and Shoulders or something. That was just the first one that popped into my mind. Old Spice. 5-in-1, like Old Spice anything. And I'm like, what do you use for your face? And like, the thing I use for my hair. No. And I'm like,
I let the suds run down from the top of my head over my face and into my butt crack.
There you
and
go.
I
call it a That's day. That's clean. I'm clean. Ma'am. I had to like explain to someone. I was like, this is what you use for this. This is what you should do. And they've got, like, after we've spoken, they've gone out to go buy... to go buy the the most basic product, but like still
on my fingers the number of men I know who moisturize and not just their hands, no, their face and body,
their face.
Anyone listening, you deserve it. Okay,
you literally deserve it. It's not about like looking hot. It's about being nice to you, the body that you're in, you know.
Yeah,
that's it.
Is this movie about self-love and body positivity?
I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as to say body positivity. I would say...
You're right. It's still very, very straight, white, and skinny, yes, this movie.
I will say that it is about, like, the way you treat yourself and the way you see yourself and what you think that you deserve. All of those things relate directly with your relationships, romantic or just, like, friendship-wise.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly about that.
One thing that struck me about this movie is when, okay, spoiler alert, when Jacob, who is Cal's dating and life coach, self-appointed dating and life coach, he meets and falls in love with and starts dating Hannah, this character Hannah, who it turns out in the end is Cal's daughter. But we don't know, like, we as an audience find out when the characters find out. This is obviously a huge plot twist, because Cal is not okay with Jacob dating his daughter, who he loves dearly, because he's seen Jacob's methods, which include all these pickup artist techniques of, like, nagging, devaluing women, objectifying them, etc. And he goes, no way do I want my daughter to be part of that. But what he doesn't know is that they've formed a relationship that's caused Jacob to reassess his lifestyle and reassess his values as a pickup artist and say, you know what, I love this girl, she's changed everything, she's a game changer, blah, blah, blah. When Jacob came to Cal in the bar and he said, look, man, I really love your daughter. I want to date her. She's different. I've changed. Cal goes, I can't co-sign on this. And he says, I know what you're like. I've seen behind the curtain. I've seen too much, blah, blah, blah. I thought he was judging Jacob for being, like, promiscuous and a kind of a womanizer. But I didn't realize that what he was actually doing was... He was saying, I don't want my daughter to be with someone who uses these pickup techniques because I know that they're manipulative and I know that they're destructive. And it's a bad foundation for a relationship.
Yeah.
I did not realize that, like, the first, like, 8 times I watched this.
Interesting. I thought it was, like, both because he
could be.
Yeah. Because I was just like, Jacob literally instructed Cal on how to get women to go back home with him. And one of the tactics is, like, because they always put the onus on the girl talking about herself, which is basically her trying to win the guy over. Because if she starts talking about herself, they will. One of the tactics is literally like, boring. Tell me something more interesting. That is so rude. If someone said that to me, I'd be like,
yo, dude. The thing is, all of the techniques that like pickup artists use, they never would have worked on me, so I look at this and I think, like, I literally am the fastest to, like, shut someone down and be like, you're fucking annoying and you're being a child.
I have seen it in action. Because
I'm, like, literally just, yeah. I mean, everyone has been negged. I guarantee you every woman's been negged in their life.
100%.
Guarantee. It's, like, and it's so, like, old and tired even before it had a name. I just remember being, like, I just remember having this, like, icky feeling whenever someone did it to me. And I was, like, okay. And, like, what the fuck? I don't even know where I was going with this. But I think the point of the story was that, like, they kind of, like, glorify it a little bit. Because what it is, you know, what do you get out of it? Cal was having a bunch of sex and so was Jacob, right? So it's, like, that's what they wanted. They had short-term goals and they got it all the time using these techniques, which, by the way, in the real world, even before, like, all of the... There was, like, this debunking of, like, online pickup artists and all this kind of stuff. It's... I don't know. I just feel like those things, yeah, might work short-term, but they don't work long-term, and I think that's the point of the movie.
Yeah.
Trying to say, like, these guys are maybe getting what they want short term. The true meaning of this movie took so long to sink in with me because the whole time I was taking it at face value and just thought that he was slut-shaming Jacob and didn't like that. But really what they're trying to say with the movie, or this is what I got anyways, was all of these tactics that you're using, they don't mean a thing in the end, in the long run. Mm-hmm. For Jacob, the love of his life that he met in the movie, she was completely immune to his tactics. Mm-hmm. Cal ended up back with his wife despite all the things that Jacob taught him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's not to say that Jacob's kind of interjection in the story was totally valueless, which I guess I'll talk about later, but, or we can talk about in the makeover scene, maybe.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's just, like, they're kind of saying, the moral of the story is, like, kind of, like, be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's kind of, like, be yourself and just be, like, earnest and honest with people.
Yeah. Yes, and I agree with you. I think that's why on my second watch I was, like, or my recent watch, I was questioning as whether or not they were glorifying it. And then I think the only kind of semblance of a shutdown of those kind of values that I witnessed was when he eventually gets Hannah home and you think he explains to her what his big move is. So he does all...
Which, by the way, still... This scene stands up.
Oh,
it's so funny. It's so funny.
So funny.
So good.
Eventually.
She knew that he... See, the thing is, she saw through him. She's like, so what's your big move? He's like, what are you talking about? She goes, well, I know you have a big move. And he was like,
Yeah, because, like, yeah, you've already got the girl to come home with you. Yeah, that's half the battle. But then to commit to, like, actually having sex with her. Hannah calls him out on, like, okay, how do we do this? Like, what's your big move? And he explains to her that his big move is the ending move in Dirty Dancing where Patrick Swayze lifts up Jennifer Grey in that big, like, pivotal lift. So.
Love.
So they do that, and then they have a moment of connection where they're,
It worked! It worked!
It completely worked. But, like, bro, of course it's gonna work when you have Ryan Gosling, like, lifting you up, and then he brings you down slowly, shirtless, all the time, this whole time shirtless, and he lets you...
And what do women love? Male torsos.
A shirtless Ryan Gosling, especially. He, like...
Shirtless Ryan Gosling in the year 2000 and... What was it?
2011.
10? 2011? Mm-hmm. Hello? That's literally... catnip.
That's that, like, screen cap of Ryan Gosling shirtless I have, like, burned into my brain, not just because it's, like, something I would have burned into my brain on my own, but because I saw it so many times after.
Do you remember the Hey Girl memes?
Yes.
I forgot for a while about those.
I forgot he was a meme
everywhere. Yeah, dude.
But yeah, so that move works on Hannah. She's like, that's not gonna work on me, but we should do it. Let's just try for science, you know?
Yes, we should for science.
And so they do the move. She's 100% into it. She's like, okay, so what next? The bedroom? And he's like, yeah. They go to the bedroom. They're, like, about to hook up. And then she can't help but be herself and, like, ask questions about his life. Because, one, this is a dude who spends, what, every fucking night at a bar?
Yeah.
He's, like, eating his dinners at the bar in, like, three-piece suits and just picking...
He was very comfortable there.
Very comfortable there. And it's not, like, a Cheers kind of bar. It's, like, New York's hottest restaurant, bar, bistro place is this modern, straight-lined place. That was, like, a little bit too bright to be, like, a sexy bar for me. The lighting should have been dimmer. This guy wearing three-piece suits has no discernible job that he ever really, like, talks about. He's just rich from his family, his dad. And
yeah, that's how he says. His dad was good at business. So he made a bunch of money, and that's why I have all those things.
I was thinking about this too, watching him, like, neg women. I'm like, if Ryan Gosling was a little bit more a little bit unattractive, this would not fly. The same thing with, like, Henry Golding. Yeah, he lied to you about his whole family's history and who he really is. But because he has that accent, he's that hot, and also he's filthy fucking rich, of course he's going to get away with it. Yep. Of course he's going to have a happy ending. Yep. But, like...
He has the golden ticket.
Yeah.
He gets the pass.
Exactly. You know? But then, like, if...
The hot hall pass.
If someone went around, spent every single night at this bar... had dinners there, was eating thing. If Ryan Gosling was a little bit unattractive, it would be sad. This would be a drama instead of a rom-com.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Literally, I had that exact same thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this could be, like, if someone made made a film about Ryan Gosling's character's life, mm-hmm. like, followed him around, like, reality TV show style, it would be depressing.
Yeah, it would be. So then, yeah, so they're literally in the middle of hooking up, and then all Emma Stone / Hannah can do is, like, ask him silly questions because she can't help but be herself. And then they connect over,
goofy,
like...
Goofy, just in a goofy, silly mood.
Literally, Ryan Gosling is on top of her, and she's like... Sorry, this was just on my mind. Like, do you have one of those expensive leather chairs? Massage chairs? So they start bonding, and then they start talking, and then they end up not hooking up. They have the PG-13 version of the night that she didn't want to have, but then ends up connecting and bonding. So in that moment, she's like, why do you keep buying all this stuff? And then his just throwaway line is, I'm deeply unhappy.
I love it.
That was the only sort of justification for the fact that all of his pickup game tactics were technically wrong because it doesn't make him happy at the end. That's all they did to justify that it wasn't great.
Literally, I think this is not a hot take, mm-mm. but it does make the movie make a lot more sense, is that I feel like you have to critically analyze each character mm-hmm. for this movie to be, it makes it so much better.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I don't know, I feel like Jacob's character is very interesting because you don't know that much about him.
No.
And it's kind of like, you there's no throwaway lines. Except for Steve Carell's jokes sometimes. Carell? Shoot. Carell, got it.
What do you think of Julianne Moore's character? What's her name?
The character, Emily.
Emily. That's what I thought.
I love Julianne Moore. I think she's so beautiful and such a great actress.
She's so beautiful, man.
She has quite a bit of range as an actress, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. Like, she can do comedy, she can do drama, she can do kind of, like, tragedy. I love that. Mm-hmm. But I did not like her character. And it's not... It just seemed like her character was, like, an adolescent-type character. Like, all of her motives... moves and thoughts were someone who's not emotionally intelligent as an adult should be. And I'm not saying that there's not adults who are like that, but I'm just saying that I'm like, oh, I do not, what do you call the word when you, like, I don't empathize mm-hmm. with someone who would do the things that she did.
I think we have to remember that she was a teen mom and something that I have come to learn,
which actually
what
might make sense.
Yeah.
You know, she became a mom when she was a teenager and then got married to the guy who knocked her up.
Yeah.
They were married for 25 years. You know, there's a point to be made for the fact that maybe she stalled out emotionally.
100%.
And I mean, that's how it comes across. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a very interesting character study. I just didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like it. It's hard to watch, especially when it seems like she's the one who has the upper hand. In it, and then you see that, like, Steve Carell's Cal's character is the one who has to pick up the pieces himself, and, like, he goes out and, like, finds his self-confidence and validation from, like, other people finding him attractive, but she just did something very stupid because she was, I think, feeling lost and not herself, or, like, she had a lot of questions, made a poor choice, obviously, by sleeping with, what's his face?
Wait. No, they said it so many times. We have to know.
I know. That's what makes me so angry, is that I can't remember it now.
Okay, it's played by Kevin Bacon. His last name's on Swedish.
David
Van Va... Hagen. Something Hagen.
We have to look it
Hagen?
Up.
Yeah, we gotta know.
Love.
David Lindhagen.
Lindhagen, that's what it is. Lindhagen. I bet you she was Lyndon his hog. What?
Oh my god.
Why even Hog would I say
him,
that?
I barely know him.
David Lindhagen. So she sleeps with David Lindhagen probably because he's, like, just this person at her work
giving
giving her attention, and she's like, whoa, nice. I've only ever been with one dude in my entire life. Which is why...
That's crazy.
Which is why... It's my stance. I believe...
Yes. 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 Laid out, Abraham.
I believe... No, that's the... What's his... JFK.
Oh, I thought you were going Farscar and...
Oh, it might have been both.
Are you... You're giving me JFK? Yeah. Okay. Give me... Put on the JFK. Give me the speech. Come on. Hit me.
It's my belief.
Nothing bad ever happens to the Kennedys.
Yeah, so it's my belief that, not that you shouldn't marry your childhood sweetheart, but I think that every couple at one point should break up.
Oh.
Yep.
This is a hot take,
guys. I think so, because... If you're gonna be endgame, you're gonna find each other again eventually. Whether it takes 3 days, whether it takes 3 months, whether it takes 3 years, I think you should test yourself. You should test your relationship. Two, I don't think that childhood sweethearts, and there are probably lots of people who are gonna be like, my parents were childhood sweethearts. Yeah, but I think it would have also...
Yeah, but do they sleep in the same bed, Benjamin?
Yeah, but do they enjoy each other's company, huh?
Do they go on vacations together or apart? Mm?
I think that you should see what it's like to not be with your partner, experience other people at some point, and then, like, come back together.
Yeah. Go be a slut. Go do whatever you want.
Literally, everybody, go be a slut.
Look, if you only sleep with one person in your whole life, choices.
Listen, if that's what you want, fine, fine, fine.
But is it fine, though? Is it fine, Kat?
I'm just saying.
Slut supremacy. I think everyone should be a hoe at one point.
I agree. I think at some point, I think you should either have a slut phase, get it out of your system, or just continue to be a slut in any way you see fit, or you and your partner
available options.
Or you and your partner see fit. That you have, like, agreed upon terms, you know?
It's all about articulating your expectations of how slutty you want to be in life.
Listen, when someone gets down on one knee and presents you with a ring, you should be like, okay, yes, but also never forget, slut forever.
Slut nation.
Slut nation. Do you remember those, like, fucking car stickers or that, like, can you say it's a movement? When all those dudes were like, keep calm and chive on. What was that? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. But I don't remember what it meant, though.
I barely know.
Isn't it like a newspaper or something? Like a publication?
It was like avid fans of French omelets. And, girl, and chives.
Are you fucking with me?
No, I'm fucking with you.
Are you?
Because you put chives on French omelets.
That sounds really nice. That sounds delightful.
It's very nice. But yeah. Anyways.
What were we talking about?
The point is, be a slut.
So we were talking about
we were talking about Julianne Moore's character because she did this thing. She hurt Cal. Also, the way that she told Cal that she wanted to end their 25-year fucking marriage was over dinner. He's like, what do you want? Talking about the dinner menu. And she
I love this scene.
I love the scene. It's great. But she just, like, blurts out that she wants a divorce.
Yeah.
And then... anytime she got mad at him after, I was like, you don't have the right.
What legs do you have to stand
on? Literally, what beautiful legs do you have to stand on, okay?
What gorgeous legs with perfect little pumps that match your nails and your whole outfit and your hair looks amazing. You're very pretty. What legs do you have to stand on?
I want to talk about one of this when he's leaving, when he's moving out of her, out of their home.
Oh, the most savage moment.
Yeah, and they're having a conversation. So I've been taking, like, a lot of writing classes, and one of my teachers have said that your dialogue, like, good dialogue is basically two characters having separate conversations to each other. And I never understood...
That's interesting.
Yeah, I never understood that because I was like, that sounds weird. But... it is, when you think about it, it is boring when you have, like, character conversation and they're like, hi, how are you? I am good. How are you? I did this today. Oh, why did you do this today? You know what I mean? Just, like, constantly responding.
It's like two AIs having a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. If it sounds...
It sounds like... Sorry, go ahead. Because I want to hear what the explanation about why that makes such a rich conversation. Because I agree it does. I want to know, like, if you can, like, articulate why.
So it's, like, your character should sound like they're kind of, like, monologuing with what they're saying, but to each other. Mm-hmm. Because in all of that, you basically get to see everyone's, like, what they're going through. You get to see subtext and
motivations.
Yeah, motivations, all of those things. And what they're saying with what they're not saying, you know? And this scene, I've never...
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I've never... I think I must have seen it, like, so many times before, but after having taken these classes and then rewatching this movie, I was like, this is the perfect scene for this, because they're both having this conversation with each other. He's leaving. They're both kind of, like, prolonging it. He's trying to give her advice on how to take care of the garden because he's not going to be around anymore to take care of the garden. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to reach out to him and communicating, but all he's talking about is the garden. And that just says, one, so much about where their character's at, two, how their characters communicate with each other. Because if literally the first time that he sees that there's any problem in the relationship is when she tells him that she wants to get a divorce, there has been a lack of communication on both ends.
Yeah,
and then absolutely. And then we see that very clearly when he's literally leaving and he's talking about the garden and she's trying to talk to him about how she's been feeling weird for a long time. Like, this is, like, when he's leaving
that
is
conversation
when she...
distills it really nicely. Yeah,
exactly. So, like, I was like, this is a very nice scene. And then he gives, I don't remember the exact line, but then he gives a very scathing remark.
Ooh. Wait. She goes, when did we stop being us?
Oh, yes.
And he says...
when you slept with David Lindhagen. Unbelievable. Good for you, Cal.
A scalped. Got her. It was, no, that is so crazy. Like, that is such a, it's what she deserved. Literally, the way you just described that was so perfect.
Thanks.
It's like, you see, so much of it is in the subtext, mm-hmm. which is, as Jane Austen hoes, we love subtext, right? So it's like,
Jane Austen hoes, like,
yeah
we are. I'm not fighting that.
Yeah it's like, you know, what's said and what can you read from what's not said, this movie, I feel like it's a lot more sophisticated than you see at first glance.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, oh, this is gonna be a rom-com with Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell. I'm stumbling every time I try and say his last name now. Emma Stone, Julianne Moore, all these amazing actors. It's stacked cast. And you go, oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a romp, blah, whatever, blah, blah. It's actually very well written, I think. And it's very understated. I think there were so many scenes that I thought were so, like, they had a perfect balance of scenes that were super fun and scenes that were more of almost like being like, look at the emotional landscape of these characters mm-hmm. that we created.
I think,
it's
yeah.
so rich.
I think that's why it was such a big deal. When it came out, because it has the feel of like those kind of indie movies that a lot of like big actors do. Like, I'm thinking movies like
Zach Braff type beat.
Yeah. Do you know that movie The Way Way Back? It's one of my absolute favorite movies, written by like Jim Rash.
Who's in it?
Steve Carell, actually. Steve Carell, Toni Collette. Sam Rockwell. It's that movie about this kid and his mom who are go to like one of those coastal towns, Nantucket maybe. Yeah. They're there for the summer and Steve Carell is like the guy that his mom is dating. And he gets a...
oh, yes. He works at a water park?
Yes, he works at the water park.
Yes. Oh my god, I love that
one
movie.
Of my absolute favorite movies. Like, we'll watch all the time. Obsessed with it. Obsessed with Jim Rash and Nat Faxon.
About it until just
love
now.
This movie. So it has that kind of like beat where it's like a little bit of an indie movie with big names and it's emotional, but it like feel good, you know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of felt like, but like a mainstream rom-com. And I don't know if that had been done before necessarily, where it was less formulaic, because it also has a big, big plot twist. You have like two concurrent...
Oh yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Can we talk about that scene?
Two concurrent like love plots, two concurrent like
two
romance.
Two roads converge in the rom-com woods.
Okay.
And they both involve Steve Carell.
Before we talk about that scene, let's talk about the makeover scene.
To the point of you saying that this was one of the first, like, big budget movies to be giving us that high subtext indie movie style presentation, mm-hmm. I was just going to say that it's crazy how the passage of time can give a different lens mm-hmm. to the exact same text. Mm-hmm. So when this movie came out 10 years ago, you and I both watched it and thought, ooh, fun, fresh, mm-hmm. fierce. Mm-hmm. This has got it going on. And now we're watching it, and I don't know that it's as fun, fresh, and fierce, but certainly still as nuanced. Mm-hmm. But it's like, because it was this high-budget Hollywood movie, it almost flew under the radar of that analysis. Or you kind of, it's like, we got red pilled or whatever the fuck they say, you know, we got like hand fed this like version of a movie, and because it was this star-studded high budget movie, I took it at face value. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think about it too hard, but there's actually a lot more to it is all I want to say.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, let's talk about the makeover scene.
No, I fully agree. I think this
movie is full of substance and wonderful subtext. Let's talk about the makeover.
I think they're doing that a lot more. I don't want to say ever since then, but I have seen...
Ooh, another hot take.
I have seen...
Crazy Stupid Love set the stage for rom-coms having high subtext.
Movie, yeah.
And nuance.
Yeah, like rom-coms in general, or like... I can't remember specific examples, but I have heard of people... okay, this is not the exact same example, but do you remember that movie The Witch?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think
it... Isn't that Anya Taylor-Joy in it?
Is it?
Pretty sure.
I feel like you're not wrong.
Are we talking about the movie with the live deliciously line? Dost thou want to live deliciously? That one?
I can't remember.
It's like a Puritan girl growing up, and then her goat turns out to be a representative of Satan.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, you're right. Anya Taylor-Joy was in it.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Jeez, talk about range. For someone so unique looking, she has a very good range.
She is very interesting.
Like, she has all the hallmarks of being typecast.
She is scary hot to me.
Really? Whoa, really? Three hot takes in one episode? So you look at Anya Taylor-Joy and you think she is scary hot. Do you mean, wait, scary comma hot or scary dash hot? Like, scary hot. Like, she's so hot, I'm scared of how attractive
no,
I am.
No,
or
no,
is
no.
Or more like, she's scary slash hot. Like, kind of like Johnny Depp as like, no, you know who it is? Scary slash hot is Crispin Glover in mm-hmm. Charlie's Angels. Is that what you mean?
Yes, a little bit of that in that vein, because I think she technically has the markings of like a weird kind of uncanny valley kind of looking of
yeah,
a person.
Dude.
But then she's very pretty. Like
she looks like a Cupid doll.
She does.
Like with their eyes so wide set.
Yeah, she has very wide set eyes. And you would, and like sometimes I see her and I'm like, whoa. And then I saw her like photos, I think, for the Golden Globes or some award show, and she's wearing like that green dress, and her hair is very long and blonde and beautiful.
Ooh, yes,
and
yes,
her
yes,
skin yes, is yes, very yes, pale yes, and she's the longest neck I've ever seen, and
she's literally
it was like
the definition of a bird-like woman.
Yeah, like I know people say like this person their look was ethereal, but I have never seen a more ethereal looking person than Anya Taylor-Joy.
Had she been doing this Hollywood come up when they were making the Lord of the Ring movie,
Oh my god.
They absolutely would have cast her as an elf.
100%.
Yeah.
They
would have made a new role just for her.
Yeah, they would have. I don't remember what I was originally talking about. Oh, so The Witch.
The mall. Let's go to the mall. Oh, The Witch.
I think that they're doing a lot of these things with movies now where it's like, The Witch was marketed as a typical kind of scary jump scare movie or like this horror film like of The Conjuring or Paranormal Activity, stuff like that. But then it ended up being more of like a little bit more cerebral and a little bit more artsy than people signed up for.
Ooh, the Jennifer's Body phenomenon.
Yes, yes. Mm. And the Cabin in the Woods, which Chris Hemsworth was in.
Ooh, yes.
Because that was also marketed as like a typical kind of slasher film. But then it ended up being like this satire on horror movies. I truly can't remember. I just remember the points.
It's like so, it's totally meta. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, again, I don't want to say that Crazy Stupid Love started it. I don't think so. In my mind, it did. I don't know. In my mind, it did.
Maybe it could. But maybe that's your thesis for today.
Maybe. And that's all I have to say on that. Let's talk about the makeover scene because I'm getting lost in my own
thoughts. We're just waxing poetical over here.
How do you feel about this makeover scene? Is it on the scale of The Duff, or what's a good makeover scene? She's All That?
We should start plotting the makeover scenes on a scale somehow, where we plot the makeover scenes that we see. This one, I think, is one of the stronger ones because there's so much comedy in it. This one was very good. I felt like it was, from a fashion perspective, I'm like, ooh, it's informative. Like, he was saying, Jacob said, hey, you know what's great about being a man of your age is that you can rebuild your wardrobe with 16 pieces. And he's not wrong. Yeah. And this goes further towards my agenda of telling men that they deserve to have nice things and take care of themselves.
Agreed.
You can rebuild your wardrobe if you need to with 16 items. It's true. And then if you want to know what those 16 items are, forward me a little message.
Slide into the DMs.
I'll create a little newsletter for you, okay? It's going to be great. It's going to be hot tips. But I like this one because this makeover montage has one of the most comedic shots of all time, and I will die on that hill.
Agreed.
The part where Ryan Gosling's character goes, look, I'm going to give you a makeover. Basically, give me a credit card. And he begrudgingly hands over his credit card. He says, pull out your wallet. He opens it up, and it's a fucking Velcro wallet, and it makes the sound when he opens it, and Ryan Gosling, in slow motion, steps back from the wallet and raises his hand in indignation, and he's wearing these sunglasses. The look on his face is perturbed and venomous. I literally there's no way that sequence could have been more perfect. It was hilarious. I laughed out loud then. I laugh out loud now.
It's so funny. I realized this second watch, he's holding the credit card. So he took it like this with two fingers.
Yes.
He took it and then like dragged it away from Cal and just looked at Cal. He was wearing sunglasses, so his eyes were shielded, so you couldn't directly see like the expression on his face, but you fucking knew.
The disdain.
You knew.
The venom.
He was so upset.
He said, how very dare you.
He exactly said that with his eyes. And then the montage continues.
And keeping in mind that his eyes were hidden by sunglasses.
I know.
That's, you know what that is? You know what that is?
What?
Acting.
Hashtag acting? So the montage continues, and he hates every time Cal rips out his credit card to pay for something. And like, there's one point where Steve Carell literally starts just making it a point to rip open his wallet, does the slowest kind of rip in front of Ryan Gosling's face, where then he immediately asks, where are your wallets, to the store clerk or whatever. And then another fun thing about this montage is how many times Ryan Gosling is, like, slapping Steve Carell's face. Also, Steve Carell is doing all of this shoeless because Jacob asked him.
Yes.
He's like, what are you wearing? What are you wearing on your feet?
He said, the Costco 21s.
He's like, look, they're the New Balance 401s or something. 401. And Jacob said, oh, really? Let me see. Picks them up, throws them over the edge of
that sequence. You hear this woman go, ah!
I love the little screens, the little added screens,
the muffled screen.
Imagine huge New Balance shoes falling from the sky.
Those things are like bricks.
Yeah, you're just coming out of Williams Sonoma, and then two dirty ass white New Balance fall from the sky and clonk you on the head.
Heavily used.
Yeah, so funny though. So yeah, I think on a scale of montages. We don't see, like, Steve Carell. It's not a typical kind of makeover montage where they're, like, he's trying on clothes after clothes after clothes. We kind of see, we see them building up to this one outfit, which I feel like they could have built a different outfit for him to emerge from.
Or if they did. Yeah, I have a little bone to pick with that final outfit as well, because, one, I think that the way that they didn't show too many outfits was their way of allowing the comedy to be the makeover sequence was a vehicle for the comedy. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. And it paid off, too. I'm pretty sure that the scene, the outfit in the big reveal, was that the one with the scuba suit sweater underneath the blazer jacket?
Mm-hmm. A sweater vest. Favorite. No.
Even in, you know, even in 2010 or 2011, excuse me, it was a bit iffy. It was a bit J. Crew catalog.
It was very J. Crew catalog. Also, they're in California. They thought
they did
some,
but did they really? Yeah.
What is he wearing a sweater vest for?
My third point was they had this really cool, by the way, editing in this movie, really great. I appreciated it a lot. There was a lot of cool, transitions, especially between that scene where you see Jacob noticing Jacob noticing Cal for the first time across the bar. And it's like every time that someone walks in front of him, it cuts and it's closer.
Oh,
closer,
so good. Very good.
It was so subtle, but so, I feel like it portrayed a lot of, like, you could see the gears turning in Jacob's head. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. A lot of the times they did this thing where they would play this, like, kind of, this music that was very, like, almost, like, exotic, I guess I would call it. Like, exotic cat music.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm trying to, like, explain it better, but do you know, like, the first time you ever see Jacob, it's like,
yeah, it's like, this is the sexy person.
It's like jungle music. Yeah, look at
this sexy, wild, promiscuous person.
Yeah, it was like, literally, they were giving us the cues with the music. Mm-hmm. And I wish when they had revealed Cal, they would have done maybe like a full body shot, slow zoom.
Yeah.
Or like a pan, like they did with Jacob. Mm-hmm. They panned up from his feet when you saw him if you're going to be picky, the very first shot of Jacob is his face. Mm-hmm. And I would have changed that, I think. I would have made the first shot maybe just his hands. Mm-hmm. And then you see his feet, so the second shot of Jacob is his feet walking over to Hannah. Mm-hmm. That's the introduction of him. So anyways, I personally would have edited that particular sequence differently. But
your female gaze is showing.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh. Ooh. And I. Ooh.
And I. Ooh.
Can we still say and I? Ooh.
Yes. Can't you?
I think what I decided to be is purposely behind the curve of what's cool and be like, what are you gonna do about it?
That's not Liddy.
Oh. Wait. Have you seen this trend of people combining like 2010 slang with like 2021 slang?
No.
It's horrific.
Horrific. How dare.
I'll send you the TikTok later. Okay,
thank you.
Anyone who's interested, you can join our Patreon and I'll share the TikTok there. Just kidding. We don't have a Patreon.
Unless someone
wanted it. What? Okay, wait. Are we going to get paid for this eventually? Maybe. We manifest this. But the point of the story is that I had a few bones to pick with the makeover scene, but very minimally, because this is one of my favorite makeover scenes because of how comedic it is. Mm-hmm. There's not that much substance to a makeover scene. Unless you're showing a lot of, like, really heinous outfits, it's not that funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So they're giving some substance to this makeover scene. So I liked it. I think I would rank it, like, I would rank it a 10 out of 10.
Whoa!
Yeah, seriously. And the other 10 out of 10 that readily comes to mind is the runway sequence from the Lizzie McGuire movie, where she wears the blow-up igloo dress.
Oh.
And you know the one.
Yes. Another...
So that's the caliber, the level I'm putting
it on. Another 10 out of 10 makeover scene for me is the one in She's the Man.
Oh, yes.
But we'll talk about that then.
We have to do that movie.
We will. I was just thinking about it. Don't worry. We will.
Okay. We have a long list. Okay. So one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about was, and we hinted at it earlier, the climactic, the penultimate scene, let's say penultimate, where the big plot twist is revealed.
Mm-hmm. Where Hannah, the girl that Ryan Gosling has met, has formed a connection with, is now dating, is now very serious with. Hannah turns out to be Steve Carell and Julianne Moore's first daughter.
Who they had when they were 17.
Out of high school.
And that's why they got married.
A
shotgun wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Scandal.
And this whole time she was being referred to as Nana by Steve Carell, by Julianne Moore, by her younger siblings. She was referred to as Nana.
We were none the wiser as viewers.
We were none the wiser. We thought they were talking about some little old fucking grandma.
Yeah. It was a misdirect.
A misdirect!
They got us.
In this economy? Yeah, so one of my favorite plot twists, one of my favorite scenes ever.
Oh, this still stands up. This is amazing, this scene.
Still stands up.
This scene is the convergence of all of the storylines going up to this point. One of them is Steve Carell, who's trying to get his wife back. One of them is Jacob, who is dating Hannah, but no one knows that Hannah is Steve Carell and Julianne Moore's daughter. One of them is Julianne Moore and Steve Carell's babysitter.
Yeah, oh my god, we didn't even talk about her.
Who is secretly in love, we didn't talk about, who is secretly in love with Steve Carell, Cal. Mm-hmm. And then one of them is the son, Cal's son, who is secretly in love, or not so secretly in love.
Openly
with
in love.
Openly in love, aggressively. Oh, we have to talk about that.
Oh,
we can't not.
Oh my god, yeah.
Because I have a bone to pick, the size of a brontosaurus.
That's another thing.
Thigh bone.
That's another thing I wanted to talk about in all of this, but yes, go
ahead. Okay, yes, we should definitely get to that. So the convergence of all the scenes, which everyone finds out everything all at once, and it results in just the most busted, like, fist fight between every single male character who is there, which is honestly okay. So I don't even, guys, we can't even explain this. You have to watch the movie. Mm-hmm. There's no way we can explain it. But my favorite part of the scene is when Jacob takes his rings off
to go punch David Lindhagen,
and he goes to defend Cal's honor with David Lindhagen, who also shows up because Julianne Moore's character left her sweater at his place, which was just
it's so crazy. Good. Literally, Cal is spitting on Jacob, being all like, Hannah, you cannot date this degenerate. He is gross, disgusting. And then David Lindhagen shows up, and then Julianne Moore goes, David, you can't
Lindhagen,
you can't be here. This is the worst time for you to be here. Steve Carell, yeah, Cal absolutely. Goes, David Lindhagen, and Jacob looks at Emma Stone and goes, David Lindhagen, huh? Takes off his rings, walks up to Kevin Bacon, who is
clocks him.
Never met this guy, just completely clocks him. And then David Lindhagen is on the ground, and my favorite is Ryan Gosling go, do you know how much hurt you have caused my friend? And then Steve Carell goes and tackles Ryan Gosling.
Oh my god.
The babysitter's dad is tackling Steve Carell. David Lindhagen is also tackling Ryan Gosling. No one is, he is not falling down because he's a strong, muscly dude who works out all the time. All of these three grown-ass men cannot bring down this one young hot dude.
He's just standing in the middle, kind of confused the whole
time.
He's
just like, what are we trying to do here?
Just definition of a tussle. Definition of a tussle.
Genuine tussle.
Cut to the four of them sitting on the like garden partition wall, like they're in trouble in middle school, and there's two cops who are there. Which, by the way, one of the cops is, I want to look it up because I want to get his name and I want to mention his name just a second. One of the cops is Reggie Lee. The actor's name is Reggie Lee.
Okay.
He was in one of me and Amy's favorite TV shows called Grimm.
Oh.
He also plays a cop in that. I love this guy. He's a Filipino-American actor.
Oh, Filipino!
Yeah, I love him. So he was on Prison Break, he was on Grimm, and obviously Crazy Stupid Love. Just wanted to shout out to him because it was such a small part, mm-hmm. but he does cop so well.
He does. I've seen him in other things, not Grimm, because I never watched Grimm. But I've seen
I'm
him
surprised
in
at that.
Yeah.
It's really up your alley.
It is. I remember you guys selling me on it, and I just... It's too much all the time.
Didn't have time
yeah. in the day.
Can we talk about the fucking son's storyline?
Oh my god. First of all. Do you like it?
First of all.
No. I hate it.
The storyline with the son is that this son, Cal's son, is in love with the babysitter. He tells her. The son is 13. The babysitter is 17. There is a 4-year gap between them. Okay. When you're a kid, a minor, mm-hmm. that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being 17 and dating a 13-year-old. Okay?
Disgusting.
Just to kind of set the scene. Horrific. This entire movie entertains the idea that it would be okay. Because the 13-year-old is actively pursuing the 17-year-old the entire time. She rebuffs him clearly on several occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, mm-hmm. very succinctly, mm-hmm. do not do this, you're making me uncomfortable. And then what's the payoff in the end? Because he keeps pursuing her and over and over again regardless, because he quote-unquote believes in romance and blah blah blah. in the end, he is rewarded for his persistence because she decides to give him an envelope full of literally printed out nudes of herself. Which is the craziest fucking thing. Why do we want... I don't want anyone to watch this and think that that method will get you what you want in the end. That's awful. I hate it.
The fact that she gave this 13-year-old... He is literally graduating 8th grade.
Yes. Hard copy nudes.
Hard copy nudes for to me, it's very like 80s kind of teen comedy kind of moment.
Don't you
forget about my nudes. But like,
mind melt.
This is another thing I meant to bring up in this movie. Not only did the like pickup artist tactics make me cringe this time, but yeah, the persistence of all of the men in this movie. Listen, yeah, we all know that men have been told you will, like, no does not mean no. We know that this is what has been drilled into their brains because of rhetoric like this. And this theme being persistent in, like, all big sweeping romances.
Yep.
And watching it in 2021, you're kind of like, take her for her word. She's saying no. Yeah. The amount of times all of the women love interests in this movie say no.
Emma Stone, yes. The first time that Jacob meets her in the bar, she says no, maybe four times. No, not interested. No, I don't want to drink. No, I don't want to go home with you. No, you can't sit with us.
Yeah.
At least four times.
Exactly. No to everything he proposed. But, like, the thing that is not helpful is that she is looking at him in a way that's, like, she clearly finds him attractive, but he like, knows that and takes advantage of that and keeps pursuing, because he's, like, no, I am hot. Clearly, she's finding it entertaining. She's not like, no, and then not talking to me. She's like, no, and like, it's like bantering kind of no, which isn't great still. Yeah. You shouldn't. And then Julianne Moore
hey, guess what? Why do women do bantering no? Because they're afraid to be straightforward, because they're afraid that men will assault and hurt them.
Exactly.
Da 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 da. Welcome to the world we live
in. Welcome to the truth. And then,
hey, so just a note for anyone listening, if you hit on someone and they say no, just take it at face value and move on mm-hmm. with your life.
Exactly. And then Julianne Moore has to say no to David Lindhagen, and he is very
persistent. Ugh. And then she caves at the end. He's so persistent. Like, I hate that. I hate the narrative of men getting the woman by wearing them down.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's depressing.
I know. Anytime, like the thing you were saying before where you knew it was icky, or you always had an icky feeling anytime it was done to you. Anytime I heard that, like, I said no, he wore me down, I'm like, ew, gross.
Yeah, sometimes that's called coercion.
That's called coercion, babes. Like, sometimes you need convincing because you didn't see what was there all along. Sometimes.
Maybe,
but
sometimes.
But that's not the way to go about it.
This is not the arena to do it.
No, these are not the tactics for it. So that's a thing that I cannot co-sign on in this movie. Mm. Just because, I mean, we know better. We know better. It's been called out. It's just like, I didn't realize before.
I gotta say, the only saving grace for one of the storylines in this context was that Hannah approached him later. Mm. So the reason that they ended up together was out of her own agency, mm-hmm. because she had rebuffed him at first. He was persistent. She still rebuffed him, and then ended up coming back because she knew that he was kind of a safe bet. Mm-hmm. She wanted to hook up with someone. She remembered the hot guy at the bar, and she kept on referring to him as the hot guy at the bar. So it was very clear that she entered the situation of her own volition, mm-hmm. and then it ended up that they both of them got kind of like the situation that they wanted, and then it just so happened to kind of serendipitously evolve into more, mm-hmm. and then they both ended up in a relationship together. Anyways, that's the only saving grace when it comes to like consent and coercion in this movie.
Yeah, that's it. Rough
trope of the week.
Oh,
we're saying is The Makeover.
Are we saying
which we've
that?
Already
is that what we said?
We've already talked about at length. Yeah, that's what we had mentioned. The Makeover.
The Makeover.
Trope. It's a Makeover trope.
It's soulmates? It's not explicit that Steve Carell and Julianne Moore like got back together at the end. They were just like having nice talks and laughing and bonding and stuff, but like it wasn't like, I should have never left you. So it was none of it was none of that. What else could it be? I don't know what else it could be. Let's just say Makeover, because that's like we got a makeover of Cal's self-confidence.
Ooh, yes, 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 yes.
And
it just so happened to conveniently also include a new wardrobe, which I do co-sign.
Guys, it's not hard. Even for women, you also could need 16 items to just rebuild your entire wardrobe.
This is literally, it sounded like you just started like a little ad break for like thread up. And we're not even sponsored yet.
Yet?
Hey everyone, it's so easy to just like jumpstart your wardrobe with only 16 new pieces. And how can you do that? With, please, insert sponsor here. Email us.
We're so thirsty for sponsors, dude.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, I would hate for a sponsor to swoop in and pay me.
Oh my god, I would hate for someone to just come along and like sponsor my lifestyle. But yeah, okay, so what would you rate this movie out of 10?
Out of 10, I would rate it like a 7.5 or 8.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty high up there. I really enjoy this movie. It's like fun to watch. If the worst part is that the men are persistent, because that's all they've been told romance is just wearing down a woman. Fine. Mm.
But how is that different from any other indie romance movie, right?
Exactly. That's what I mean.
I'm looking at you, Zach Braff, again.
How about you?
I would also rate it that exact same thing, because at first glance, you're like, this is whatever, just like a rom-com movie. But like I said before, the subtext of it, I think, adds a lot of depth and nuance. So yeah, 7.5 or 8.
Also, I really like how little screen time Emma Stone actually gets with Ryan Gosling. It's literally more about him and Cal, which is very funny to me.
Yeah.
It's great.
I also like the scene where she bites him on the shoulder like a little dinosaur.
Yeah, I saw that. And he's like talking on the phone. They're at the wine store, the alcoholic store.
That gif was also embedded in my brain by Tumblr. Yeah,
and she bites him on the shoulder. And honestly, as a person who bites their significant other just because they're around, not even in a sexual way, like literally not even literally in a sexual way, just like, oh, some person is here. I felt seen by that moment.
Yeah. It was nice.
It was sweet.
Like, that was another moment where they could have literally just had them standing next to each other, but like the way that they blocked it by having her halfway across the screen in the first shot, halfway across the store in the first shot, and then the second shot, she like comes up from behind him. She gives him a little playful chomp, chomp a chomp on the shoulder. He does that like over dramatic face. I don't know. I feel like that kind of talks to their relationship, and it's just so subtle.
Yeah,
but it subtle, speaks volumes.
Subtle like and it. Natural, and like not performative.
Realistic.
Yeah, because it's just like, why would you bite someone just in a store?
This,
you know,
this movie asks the question: why would you bite someone in a store?
It also asks: would you give your 13-year-old kid that you babysat your printed nudes?
Please give us your feedback. Vomcompodcast@gmail.com.
Guys, our next poll. Also, she's also a minor. It's a child pornography all around, bro.
It's highly, highly sus and fucked up.
Also, okay, about that scene where the babysitter's mom discovers that she has printed nudes.
No.
And then she goes and gives her dad the envelope of the photos, and he's looking through them. I'm like,
You don't need to look. You know what they are.
Why do you need to give them to him to see with his eyes?
Do you know what they say? Like, the human brain can process an image in, like, under a second, okay? The dad did not need to be staring that hard at those photos for that long, and all of them. You can assume if the first one includes a nude of your 17-year-old daughter, then the rest also do, you fucking weirdo. That scene made me clench.
I hated that scene. And then they're like, they're fighting for the keys, and the dad runs away to go beat Cal.
That part was actually kind of funny.
I hated
it. Her mom was like chasing her through the house, trying to grab the keys, and she was like, get off me.
I hated all of it, dude. Kind of slapped. That's the worst part about this movie is the babysitter part. Because if she was just in love with Cal, but like the fact that she had to take naked photos. And then we have the scene where this girl is talking to another girl in her high school about how that girl has a lot of sex with older dudes. I was like, I hate all of this.
If I'm honest, I kind of blacked out that scene in my memory because it was too much to unpack.
We purposely.
I got home from the Bahamas after a 3-week vacation, and I had 2 suitcases, and I looked at them and I said, this is too much to unpack, so I didn't. I forgot about them and I left them for 3 weeks, and I just took some pieces out that needed to be washed and went about my life.
We purposely did not touch on this because, one, underage, 2, we hated it, did not want to address it at all. I just, like, it all just came rushing back to me.
It's our podcast and we do what the fuck we want.
It just all came rushing back to me, so I had to yell about it. But anyways,
good.
Don't watch it for those reasons. Watch it for the other nice reasons that we talked about. And overall, good movie. We agree. Molly, where can the people find you on the social media?
Please like and subscribe. You can find us at VomCom Podcast on Instagram and or TikTok. You can find me at molly.mca on Instagram and Molly the Witch on TikTok, which I am intermittent at, but sometimes committed to. Kat, how about you?
You can find me on any social media at It's Catherine Ram.
Simple. We love it. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
For listening.
Give us a like and subscribe. Give us some 5 stars. Leave comments. Tell us what you like.
Comments.
Even what you don't like, fine. We'll read them.
Even especially what you don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially what you don't like about the movies, because we're probably going to agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Molly.
Okay.
Thank you. Love you. Goodbye. Adios.
Buongiorno. Amor. Love you. Okay. Bye.
I am fond of you, you know.
And a girl?
I often wish you weren't such a stinker.